Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's always grace, peace be unto you from our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. As I mentioned to the children's sermon today is the first Sunday of Epiphany, or after the Epiphany. And between now and through the month of February, we will be in this time after the Epiphany. We'll be looking at the several ways in which the presence, the identity, and the mission of Jesus were manifested, were revealed, were made known into the world. But in addition to today being the first Sunday after Epiphany, today also is known in the church as the Baptism of Our Lord Sunday, which reminds me of a story of a family. It's about a little boy who got to stay home from school, and he decided to be a little terror to his mother all day long. And so after every incident, after everything that he broke, everything that he did that he wasn't supposed to do, his mother would say, "Wait until your father gets home." A familiar phrasing, I'm sure, for some of us while we were growing up. Well, as soon as his father came home, the mother went straight to him and explained and shared all that this little boy done all day that just nearly drove her mad. So the father looked at the son, but before the father was able to say anything to him, the son cried out, "You can't touch me. I've been baptized." Now, how many of us would have thought of that when we were getting ready for a scolding? "You can't touch me. I've been baptized." Oh, how I wish it was that easy. How I wish it was that simple, that clear. How I wish I could just say to the sorrows, to the griefs, to the losses in my life, "You can't touch me. I've been baptized." How I wish I could simply say to the struggles and to the difficulties in my life, "You can't touch me. I've been baptized." I wish I could say to the changes and the disappointments and the chances of life, "You can't touch me. I've been baptized." But that is not how baptism seems to work, does it? See, despite having been baptized, the reality is that we still suffer sorrows. Despite the fact that we've been baptized, the reality is that we still lose loved ones. Despite the realities of having been baptized, we still encounter challenges and the aftermath and the effect of the COVID virus and so forth and so on. Despite the fact that we've been baptized, we still face the changes and the chances of this life. We would rather, very much, we would rather avoid all of that if we could. But we can't. Now, if you're wondering what happened to the little boy, well, he was indeed baptized. But he still had to take a time out and had to apologize to his mother. And yet, he was absolutely right. On a spiritual level, he was absolutely right. He was untouchable. See, at some level, he knew that his existence, his identity, his value are not limited by space and time. Not limited to the things that he has done or the things that he has left undone. Somehow he knew himself to be more than just a biological existence. He knew himself as beloved because of the gift of baptism. So you see, baptism Baptism doesn't eliminate the difficulties and the challenges and the issues that we have in this life. It doesn't. It doesn't fix our problems. Baptism doesn't take away the pain and the sorrows. Baptism doesn't change our circumstances in life at all. However, it changes us. It ought to change us and offers us a way to go through those difficult times, those sorrows, those problems. It offers us a way to go through those circumstances and those pain, and ultimately it offers us a way to go through even death. See, baptism offers us a new way of being. That's why the Apostle Paul says, you are a new creation in Christ. It offers us a new way of being, a new way of talking, a new way of acting, a new way of thinking. Through baptism, we still live according to the biological laws of our nature, but we do so in relationship with God. In a God who says to us in the book of Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That relationship we have with God assures us as to who we are and whose we are. That means when we pass through the waters of sorrow, when we pass through the waters of grief and pain and difficulties, we know that God is with us. Yes, we still have to go through the rough and turbulent waters of life, but they will not drown or overwhelm us. That's the promise that God has for us. This means that when we walk through the fires of loss and the tragedies of this life, yes, we will still feel the flame. We will still feel the heat, but we shall not be burned or consumed. Again, the promise of our God. For he is the Lord our God, the Holy One of Israel. He is our Savior, according to Isaiah. So to know this, to trust this, to experience this gift of baptism is to experience a new way of being, a new reality in life. And of course, baptism always takes place at the border of life as it is and life as it ought to be, as it might be. It is the border between the wilderness and the promised land. It is the border between life as simply existing and life that is thriving. It's the border between sin and forgiveness. The border between the tomb and the womb. It's the border between death to life. Now, we all know that from time to time, if not at multiple times in our lives, we all stand at that border. Some of you are standing at that border right now as you continue to experience a sense of loss. You continue to experience hardship and fear and anxiety and pain and all kinds of illnesses. The rest of us are probably experiencing joy and happiness and hope and healing. But the reality is this, that we feel and we go through all these experiences sometimes at the same time. And I believe that the only reason we can stand and go through these realities is because Jesus stood and has gone through them first. You see, Jesus' baptism was for our sake and for our salvation. According to Scripture, Jesus chose to be baptized not because he was sinful. He didn't have a sin of his own. So he didn't need to be washed in the waters of his baptism. No. But by taking the sins of the world upon himself, by taking your sins and my sins upon himself, he took them and drowned them in the Jordan River. And then later he nailed them to the cross. And by doing so, his baptism therefore transforms us from sinners to saints. And his death on the cross gets us through from death to life. So you see, Jesus' baptism was for our sake. It was for us, not for his. The waters of baptism did not sanctify or made Jesus holy. He's already that. Instead, by getting in the water with our sins, Jesus sanctifies the water for our baptism. So that the water that once drowned is now sanctified, holified, and the water that gives life. And as it was with Jesus' baptism, and so it is with ours. When we were baptized, we can trust that the same Holy Spirit that descended upon him when he came out of that water is the same Holy Spirit that has entered and fills us. And it is the same Spirit that declares, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased." Now, as Lutherans, we know that we are baptized only once. Baptism is a one-time shot only. And the first time is good enough. There's no need to do it again, because God never reneges on his promise, making it necessary to do it again. Once is sufficient. And for us Lutherans, it doesn't matter at what age you get baptized. From newly born to nearly at a death door, you can be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if you haven't been baptized before. However, although we believe in baptism is only once, we are to recall and to live out our baptismal vows daily. Each and every day we wake up, we are to remember that we have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that we are the beloved children of God. Each day we wake up, we are to remember and recall that. But more than that, we also are to recall and remember that we made promises at our baptism before God. That is why we as Lutherans are encouraged. We are encouraged to remember and to recall that we've been baptized by tracing the mark of the cross that was put upon us at our baptism. Now, some of you say, "Well, that's a Catholic thing." No. Catholic does not have the corner on making the sign of the cross. All baptized children of God ought to make the sign of the cross as it retraces that cross that has been marked on you forever. And by doing so, you are to recall the baptismal vows that you have made. Vows that include such things as that you have promised to be among God's people, worshiping and praising God in the presence of his assembled people. By doing so, by remembering and recalling our baptism, we are therefore empowered to live out our baptismal promise to continue in the teachings of the apostles, to fellowship among God's people, to break bread together with fellow believers at the Lord's table, to be in prayer for one another, because the Holy Spirit has descended upon us and filled us. And part of our baptismal promise is that we're to persevere in resisting all forms of evil. And whenever we fall into sin, we're to repent. We're to repent and return to the Lord, because the heavens have been opened to us and we know where our true home is. Furthermore, we are to proclaim both in words and in actions the good news of God in Christ. Because we have heard the voice from above, from God declaring us as his beloved children, in whom he is well pleased. And above all, our baptismal promise includes that we shall seek to serve Christ in all people, loving our neighbors as ourselves, striving for justice, for peace, and maintain the dignity of every human being, because that is how God has treated us, and that is how God continues to treat us. And how can we do any less than that to his people? Do you remember your baptismal vows? If you don't, I encourage you to look it up. In your baptismal vows, you promised certain things that maybe you weren't there, maybe you were an infant, but in your confirmation you also made the same promise that you will do certain things, not because you have to, but as a response to the grace that God has given you through Christ Jesus. That you will gather with his people, that you will serve and work and love your neighbor as yourself, and most of all, love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. What the little boy at the beginning of my story, what he said is true. That for all intents and purposes, as believers in Christ, as children of the Heavenly Father, nothing can touch us, because we've been baptized. We've been redeemed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can touch us. We've been baptized. Do you believe that? Because a couple Sundays ago, I shared with you the distinction between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. A fan of Jesus likes what Jesus does, but when it suits you, when it's something that you can, I could go behind that. That's a fan, someone who follows every now and again and claims to be someone who likes whatever they like about Jesus. But then a follower is someone who will follow no matter what, will go wherever the Lord sends them and trust in the Lord to provide all that is needed for the task at hand. All baptized children of God should never be just a fan of God. Should be a true follower of Jesus, who has gone through the waters, sanctified and stirred the water for our blessing. And that when we are baptized, we have been made saints of God. Know that you are God's beloved children. In you, he is well pleased. in response to that declaration of God. Let us remind ourselves. Let's recall our baptismal promise, and then let's live it out this week and forevermore. Amen.